You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year. And we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.
Hello and welcome to SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Luke Cutforth and Jap.
Hello.
Bonjour.
This week,
yes,
we'll be talking about space squids and invisibility cloaks.
Space squids?
Invisibility cloaks. Right, because I
you're stumped by invisibility cloaks. We've seen that in Harry Potter.
Last night, I turned to Corey, right, and I said to him, "In the seventh Harry Potter book, it suddenly J.K. Rowling's like, oh, and now the invisibility cloak is too small.
Too small for
they
them.
Have to crouch, right? Yeah. So how big is that sheet that three adults can almost get under it? Like that's bigger than a bed sheet." He's just carrying around this, like, tent, like, invisibility tent. Anyway, that's my tangent. Carry on with your science. Off you go.
Okay, so...
I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, it is too big.
Well, because, like, Harry wears it on his own when he's 11.
But then
when he's 18, he can almost fit three people under it.
But when they're, like, three 12-year-olds, that's got to be massive. There's going to be too much... Left over.
When there's one Harry in the library, he must just be like
tripping over
it. Other people will be tripping.
Like the floor just goes invisible behind him and stuff.
Okay. Student out of bed. Students in the corridors.
As humans, we've got a long history of manned space exploration and an even longer history of just firing animals into space to see what happens. The bobtail squid is a tiny little cephalopod that went on a very, very big journey just because scientists were interested in its symbiotic relationship with some light-emitting bacteria.
I believe in him.
Yes. So this is the squid, the space squid.
This is the space squid.
Okay,
nice. Not just one, there were three.
Now, what is symbiotic or symbiote? Because I heard this word in Venom and I thought it was made up, apparently.
James!
I'm not a scientist.
Have you not heard symbiosis before?
I didn't know.
Do you not do high school biology?
No, I did a semester of it and hated it so much I just did physics and chemistry. So
that's Australia's crazy. Yeah. We have to do biology.
No, we
don't have to do biology.
Okay, Scotland.
I did one semester.
So symbiosis is when you've got two animals, two organisms living in close proximity to one another.
Yes.
Both providing a benefit to one another. Okay, so I'm going to give you guys a history of animals in space just to start off with.
Please.
What's funny about that?
I don't know. The fact that there is a history of animals in space is hilarious.
I know there was a dog, and that's my knowledge.
There's lots of dogs, lots of monkeys. There's so many weird animals. Ants, they've been used to sort tiny screws in space.
What?
Yes.
Sorry, don't gloss over that.
Anyway.
Sort tiny screws?
So moving over that.
The way you treated that was like, okay, moving on.
So moving on, I've actually had to condense this because there are so many animals we've sent up there. So the first use of animals in aeronautic exploration was in... Okay, guess which century this was?
Probably this one. Or last
1900s.
One.
This century.
Yeah, the one we're in now.
So we sent humans to the moon, and then we went, should we send some animals?
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, last one. I meant 20th.
No.
Are you living 19 years ago, James?
I think so.
Were you living 19 years ago, James?
Yes.
Oh, you were you born after the year 2000?
No.
Okay, thank God. I was about to retire or something. I didn't know.
No, of course not.
Okay, so it was 1783.
Oh,
God.
You're 97.
Me. Yeah. 1783.
What?
Yeah, 1783.
Hang on. How? When you say
how did
space,
they get them into space?
Oh, did I say space? I said aeronautic exploration.
Okay, right.
No, no, not space. Not space.
Okay.
So
just really high.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Okay. Yeah. So the Montgolfier brothers sent a sheep and a rooster up in a hot air balloon to see, just to see if they'd survive.
Did they?
Just to see.
Well, they also sent up a duck as a control.
I did it
as
a control.
Well, ducks, they fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they did survive. And that meant that the king allowed them to send people up in hot air balloons.
Sorry, the king. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the king.
Yeah, okay, sure.
That's as much so into
the king of this country?
The fact that there
was the Montgolfier brothers, I assume they're French.
Ah.
They're French. Yeah. So yeah, that was the first time we'd sent animals into space. The first, not to space.
The sky.
Aeronautic exploration.
I mean, the animals have been doing aeronautic exploration themselves for many thousands of years.
Not sheep, though.
You don't know.
You don't know.
Prove it. The burden of proof is on you.
Have you ever seen a sheep fly?
Have you ever seen a sheep not? Wait. That's not how that works.
Okay, so the first animals to be sent to space, do you know what they were?
Chimp by Russians.
No.
Oh, I was so sure.
I don't know.
No, ants. It was fruit flies.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's boring.
Did they take fruit?
No.
That's sad.
The flies, I don't think they could carry it. It's
no, but they should have
small.
Sent that. They should have sent fruit with the flies.
Oh, for them to eat.
They just sent regular flies with fruit.
Houston, we need an apple.
Basically, the... They sent them up just to see what would happen with radiation.
Yeah. And what did happen?
Not much.
Good.
No. Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
They hit 109 kilometers high, which meets the international standard of 100 kilometers for space. But the US Air Force says that space is 20 kilometers lower than everyone else. They say it starts...
Can they not get to 100 kilometers?
I don't think they can, no.
That's what this
I don't know why. Like, I don't know why they say this. It's just... They say 50
the
miles.
That's the most American thing I've ever heard. Like,
they're
the
just US
Air Force going, we're in space! And they go, no, you're not. And they go, move space!
They did put their own flag on the moon, didn't they?
Bring space to us!
Okay, so that was in 1947. And then in 1949, they sent the first monkey into space. Albert II.
Where was Albert
I? That was my question.
You don't want to know what happened
to Albert
I.
I want to know
did
what
he
happened
explode?
To Albert
I. He exploded.
Oh, what?
That was literally my guess.
Don't worry.
Albert II also exploded, but his was on impact after going to space.
Oh, well, thank God.
Oh, at least he got the ride.
The ride of his life.
If I'm going to die in an aeroplane crash, I at least want the in-flight entertainment first.
Okay.
Get my money's worth.
So in 1951, we sent some dogs into space, Gypsy and Desik. I don't know, they're Russian. Not much happened, but they've got like nice little spacesuits.
Did they come back?
Yeah. So they came
amazing.
Back and
alive.
Gypsy, yes, alive. Okay.
That
Although
was
Gypsy
important to us.
That wasn't
Gypsy went again and died. So
I don't want to do this episode.
To be
lots of dead animals.
Too many animals.
It's
dead.
Only the '50s.
What do you mean it's only the 50s?
We weren't very good at sending them and then getting them back.
Well, then don't send them. That's not the answer.
But you don't know if they're going to survive until you try it.
Well, send stuff that's not animals first.
They
how would you test if it's dead?
Rockets. They sent rockets.
But you can't test if a rocket dies or not.
Yeah, rockets don't die.
Okay, right. Yeah, but what's the name? Gypsy. No, not Gypsy. The chimp. The two chimps, they died because their thing exploded.
Okay, so...
And so that is...
Yeah, it's
no,
like technical
so,
error,
okay,
isn't
okay, that's
it?
Not really...
Get
okay.
good at sending stuff without it exploding first.
Albert II didn't die in an explosion. It was just an impact because his parachute didn't work.
Right, so build parachutes that work before you send monkeys into space.
Well, they... Never
to be
needed,
fair, haven't
clearly,
we sent humans
they
into space and have also exploded?
They didn't
yeah,
need
but
to
they
use
made
it before.
The choice. You can't ask a monkey if it wants to go to space in a faulty parachute.
Well, if a monkey gets on the rocket, it's the monkey's fault.
You're the problem.
So, 1957, we sent Laika into orbit. A dog.
Oh, I thought you meant Lycra.
Lycra, yes.
Just a cyclist.
Now that it's safe for all of these animals, let's send up some Lycra to see what happens to that. No, so we sent Lycra up. She was in orbit. She's very famous. And then 1968, we sent the first animals into deep space, and they circled the moon.
What is deep space?
Where does deep space start?
I don't know.
And then where does deep space start for the US?
It starts 20 kilometers.
No, so deep space is like kind of when you're like out of the atmosphere. So when you're
space.
That's space deep.
Yeah. The first animals to circle the moon were tortoises.
Oh. That's probably the fastest they've ever gone or ever will. That's so nice. They're the fastest tortoises ever. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, all the animals are probably the fastest of any animal, but.
I lost my place reading.
Did they survive?
Did they? Don't lie to us.
You don't sound sure.
I don't think they did. Well, no, actually, I think they came back. Look, to be honest, most of these animals died. I kind of gave up. I got really.
Well, obviously,
sad.
They died eventually.
Tortoises take a long time to die.
They
though.
Don't go to space and then become immortal.
No, but did they die from space travel?
No, they spent the longest time in space.
And then died.
And then died in space.
Everyone dies.
No, in died.
Did they die they in space? This is my point.
I'm pretty sure they came back.
Dead.
Eh. So in the 1970s...
You can tell the tortoises.
In the 1970s, we sent two bullfrogs into space with no intention of bringing them back. It was a one-way space
when
mission.
When you say we, who was
I
it?
I have to say, this is the worst list I've ever experienced. This is a terrible
No
list.
Intention of bringing them back.
Do you want to know why?
What do they want to test then?
Space motion sickness.
What? They died of motion sickness.
No.
They just wanted to see if they threw
they
up.
They didn't die of motion sickness. We didn't care about them dying. We just wanted to see how sick they would get
before
we sent them into space.
Couldn't they have tested that with like the previous animals? No.
Maybe they did. They do a lot of it. They do a lot of tests on animals in space.
Evidently.
So in the 1990s, Japan launched its first animals. And they were a species of a newt. Just thought that was interesting.
What's a newt?
What? It's a little amphibian that lives in a pond.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, my God. Do you remember that Cartoon Network show?
No. I only know newts because my granny had a pond in her garden and I used to catch newts and
make them
my friends. They're cute, but slimy.
You used to catch newts and pretend they were your friends?
Yes.
That's of course, what my therapist says.
Yes, I did. Did you not used to catch things like woodlice and stuff and make friends with them?
I used to catch yabbies, which are like little lobsters.
What?
Yes, Australia.
So, how little are these lobsters?
Are they like that big? 6 inches max.
You know, we're recording audio.
That's what I did that and I thought, oh, wait, no. They can't see that. About 6 inches.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, yeah.
Why newts? Are there any reason for any of these animals? They're just picking stuff.
So a lot of the time they pick stuff. So I think with these newts, they cut off some of their legs.
Okay.
Just to see how regeneration would work in space.
But that's not helpful because we can't regenerate our limbs.
That's what I thought when I read it. But to be honest...
Maybe you can in space. Have you ever been to space?
No.
You might have been to space.
I rest my space.
I rest my space.
And then in the 2000s, we sent ants, stick insects, brine shrimp, and these were just this is the point where space getting to space is pretty easy.
Yeah,
these were just for like.
Did they send all of those in the same rocket?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So these were
not
for
an individual rocket for every. this rocket's
tiny
for stick
rocket
insects.
No, so these were for school projects for kids.
Oh my god!
Right.
Yeah. So these were like I think these like grade school, junior school, and high school. Which is American, so I don't know. But, you know, children's school projects, they just decided to send stick insects into space.
Hmm.
And then...
Fun.
Yeah, well, 2007, we sent animals into space to see if they would just survive in space on their own, and they did.
On like, as in not in a rocket?
Yes, not in a rocket, just out in space.
Fired them out.
But I thought you just, like, evaporate if you go out into space.
No, so what... Oh, it's really interesting what happens in space. We've tested this on
dogs. I assume you freeze.
Kind of.
You kind of freeze, and,
freeze
boil
and boil
at the same time.
So because
there's no pressure, so you
right.
There's not yes. So when you lower pressure, your boiling point lowers, but you also have no heat. So you also it's weird.
So you don't it was because there's nothing to the only kind of heat way you can lose heat in space is through radiation, which is the least efficient way to lose heat. So you will freeze it like your eyelids and like in your mouth and your nose and stuff. But for a human to freeze solid in space,
you have to
it takes maybe about a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. And you can survive actually for about a couple minutes in space.
Sure.
That seems fun.
But you do boil though.
Yeah. So basically.
It's not pleasant 2 minutes.
Yeah. Though. Don't hold your breath.
Is that worse?
Your lungs will explode. Yeah.
Noted.
I mean, that's probably the quickest way to go.
Yeah. Do you guys know what to do when you if you're jettisoned into space?
Don't breathe.
Yes. So you breathe out, and then try.
That's like scuba diving.
Try and get back before you pass out, which is going to happen in about a minute or so.
Try and get back. Well, there's literally nothing. Empty space.
Just you throw stuff away from you, just and you'll go the opposite direction. There.
No, that wouldn't work.
No, you literally need to get rid of mass so you could just throw stuff.
No. Well, no, but I would have thought, but people would think that is what you would do.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
It only works when you've got air to push against.
When you've got something to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like water, for example.
And there's not much water in
there's
space.
There's not much water to swim through in space.
That's true.
Usually.
But if you pass a space lake, usually. Then yes, you can swim through it.
And then in the 2010s, we've sent things up in the Endeavour, like squids. But we also sent two golden orb spiders named Gladys and Esmeralda.
Oh, was that to find out if they can like do webs in space?
Yeah, we just want to see what would happen to them. So we sent them up some fruit flies as well.
That's not a reason.
We sent up some fruit flies as well for them to eat.
Do they have a hypothesis, or they're just going, wonder what happened? Let's put Gladys.
I don't know.
In space.
We have some money.
To be honest, with a lot of sending stuff into space, it's kind of like, oh, what's going to happen?
Right.
It's microgravity, radiation, all of that sort of stuff. So because you're in space, you're subjected to way more radiation because the atmosphere stops so much. And there's very little gravity. And things, like everything on Earth is constantly being pulled down by like 9.8 Gs.
Mm.
So we don't know what happens when you get rid of that. So we just want to see how their behavior would be affected by it. Not much, apparently.
Great.
Yeah, so we sent tardigrades and some other extremophiles.
I love tardigrades.
So, yeah, so tardigrades are what survive 10 days in space.
They're the ugly looking things, aren't they?
In space.
So vacuum, cold. So basically what happens is they just go into this kind of this hibernation state where they get rid of all their water and they just stop every process.
That's freaky, because why would they have any kind of plan? Like genetically, why would they have any kind of plan for space?
Well, it's kind of like extremophiles. If they're put under extreme stress, which you can be put under extreme stress even on Earth, so you've got extremophiles that can live in like ridiculously high salt concentrations, ones that live next to thermal vents in the ocean.
But they never would have evolved to have a plan for a vacuum.
Well, no, they wouldn't.
Or high radiation either, unless they're living near some like uranium, which is not likely.
They can withstand so much more radiation, like over 100 times what would kill a human. They're insane.
They look ugly, don't they?
No, they look super cute. They're water,
they?
Like they water bears.
Yeah, little bears.
They just
I've got them
plod along.
Something else.
Yourself,
probably.
Ow!
You're getting cut out of the podcast when I edit this.
You can't cut him out of the podcast.
It's just us bantering.
That's gonna be my
bantering about things that you can't hear
for 20 minutes.
So basically, we have shot a lot of animals up into space.
That's what I'm gathering from this.
Yeah. So the story,
and for no good reason.
Yeah, no good reason.
Has anything helpful come out of any of this?
Oh, lots of
research.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, we sent some bacteria up, and when they came back, they were.
We now know there are two bulldogs in space somewhere.
No, there aren't. They came back dead.
Bullfrogs, not bulldogs.
None of these things have stayed
bullfrogs.
In space.
Bullfrogs, not bulldogs.
I heard bulldogs.
Bulldogs. Why would you send specifically bulldogs into space?
I don't know. Why would you send specifically bullfrogs into space?
To make them be sick, apparently.
Yeah, because maybe they're prone to sickness.
I imagine dogs are sicker than frogs.
Anyway, like what I mean is, like, what has anything genuinely helpful come out of any of this research?
Yeah, I mean, like, we found a lot of stuff. A lot of the work is to see how humans can survive in space. So a lot of it has...
So not helpful to any of us other than astronauts.
No.
That's ridiculous.
But a lot of the work that astronauts do...
That's like, I'm going to put the dog in the fire to find out how to withstand fire so that I can walk in the fire. You don't need to walk in the fire. Maybe a firefighter needs to... That's a bad example, because actually fighting fire is good.
You don't need to go to space, though, so...
Exactly. That's my point.
Do you think it's fantastic, though, that we're exploring space? That we're just sending stuff out there?
Well, we're not even sending stuff that deep, are we? We're just kind of...
Oh, we're sending stuff into as deep space as we can.
Yes, but for no reason.
Out of the atmosphere.
It doesn't actually help us in any way.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I love that.
It is. Yes, okay. But do it with people who are willing to die, not
well,
animals.
The issue is if we didn't do it with animals first, the people would just die straight away.
Then,
I imagine...
I mean, not fine, but I prefer that to just sending things that don't want to go into space.
They don't want to go into space.
Yes, they do. They want to stay where they are.
But tardigrades were maybe meant to go into space.
How would tardigrades be meant to go into space?
Because they're able to.
I'm not
saying that they are meant to. I'm saying what if they are.
You know what? They should be grateful.
Well, then we can work that bit out first. But like, as far as we know, and as far as science says, everything evolved on Earth and didn't arrive on like a meteor, which would be why a tardigrade would be able to survive in space. Until you've decided, oh, maybe stuff didn't evolve on Earth, then stop sending animals into space. Well, then don't need to be.
I am with you. It is really cruel to just... Yes. Shoot them up, but we wouldn't know anything if we didn't.
I don't care. The robots.
I don't need to know things. I can go to Sainsbury's. I can eat food. I've got a house.
I don't need to know what happens to tardigrades. I imagine the robots we've sent into space have been a ton more helpful.
Oh no, that's really sad too.
Well, then there's no cruelty involved, is there?
No, there is, because the Mars rover just died, and it's sad.
Yes, but it's not okay.
It's not a living animal.
It is. Curiosity. Do you not love Curiosity?
Was it Curiosity that died?
I thought it was Curiosity.
I thought it was the other one.
I mean, it will be Curiosity that died, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it hasn't got a Twitter account. Some scientists at NASA have made a Twitter account to make space exploration, like the stuff you're going on about, seem great, when actually it's evil and horrible, and you're a terrible person for supporting it.
Luke hates space.
I don't hate space! I like animals!
There is a difference.
I'm mad now.
Between space and animals, like I would hope
no,
so.
No, between...
There's no difference between space and animals.
No, that's not what I said.
Animals are space, James.
No, I said there's a difference between liking animals.
You don't have to go to space. You can go to animals. Space.
So on to the bobtail squid.
Yeah, go for
it. The first squid that was going to make me angry as well.
There was a squid involved.
No, this one's really cool. It's like a little Harry Potter squid. So bobtail squids, they're the first squids that went to space. So do you guys know what squids are?
Like
animals.
Yeah. Goose. I know what squids are.
Maybe more specific.
They look kind of like the ood.
Aquatic animals.
They do look kind of like
octopusy type thing.
Octopusy.
Yeah, octopusy.
If you get too
like
close,
James Bond. So, do you know what the difference between James, a squid and an octopus is?
Between a squid and James.
Squid and James. Not much, apparently.
Only the amount of legs.
That's true.
Yeah, James has more than a squid.
Oh, no. Squids have more than octopuses.
What?
Yeah.
How many legs do they have?
Ten.
That's ridiculous.
You didn't know that.
I literally did, yeah.
Really?
I wanted to be a marine biologist when I was really young.
Okay, well then tell me, what's the difference?
But then I studied biology.
Then you didn't study biology.
And I was like, you know what, maybe not.
Just the marine. What's the difference between a squid and a cuttlefish?
I hated cuttlefish. I didn't care for them.
It's different. They've got different bones inside of them. So
squid have bones?
One bone. Like, they're kind of similar to mollusks, so like snails and stuff, but they've lost the shells. But they still got a little bit of shell inside of them. It's just really soft. So cuttlefish use theirs for buoyancy and stuff. And squids don't really use theirs. Yeah.
So what about this squid that went to space then?
Squid that went to space. So it's a bobtail squid, also known as a dumpling squid or a stubby squid.
That's really cute.
Really cute. They're tiny.
It's going to make me more angry that it's dead now because it's got a cute name.
It's got a mantle length of between 1 and 8 centimeters.
A what length?
It's squid head. Yes.
So the mantle length is the head of the squid?
No. The mantle is the head of the squid.
Sorry, and
and the length of this squid's mantle is between 1 and 8 centimeters.
I'm more confused as to why you...
Is the mantle the entire head?
Why is that an important piece of information? I don't
It's just small.
This is Corey. He's got a head length of 25
Wait,
centimeters.
It's the whole head is the mantle, like the length of the whole head.
Yeah, like this... I mean,
that is quite small.
Yeah. I'm saying it's a small squid. It's like that big.
No, I know that. Hang on. Let me finish. So, what I'm confused about is why you're not giving me the length of the whole squid. Why are you giving me the length of his head?
Squids are measured in mantle length rather than...
Because tentacles can be different lengths.
Yeah, you can vary.
Are they just a head and then some tentacles?
I mean, that's what squids are.
But they must have a bit of body, right?
No. So that's why that's where the word cephalopod comes from.
Oh.
It's from the Greek head and foot.
Okay.
Because their feet are right next to their heads.
I'm very sorry.
Just imagine a snake with one foot on the end.
No, it'd be a snake with like
a snake.
No,
is just
a snake is a snake, snake is just a head and a body. Tail, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so it's just ten right. snakes with one shared.
All right, replace the tail with a leg, just a head just with one
a human leg.
Right. Okay. Thank you for clarifying why you're giving me the length of just its head.
So they live in shallow coastal waters of the Pacific Ocean, kind of around Hawaii and off the Cape Peninsula of South Africa. And they can swim by either using their little fins or by jet propulsion.
Not using one of their 10 legs?
No. Well, they're little finny legs. They just...
Are their legs not part of the jet propulsion?
No, so basically they kind of store up a lot of water inside them. And just...
Wow.
Oh, it's just like a fart.
Well, do you fart water, James?
Well, I don't live underwater. If I lived underwater, probably.
Okay.
No, sorry.
No, hold on. Wait, why are
that's
we...
That's not true. No. You'd still fart gas
no, if
underwater.
No, if humans developed underwater, we'd probably fart water.
Humans did develop underwater. And then
humans still existed underwater.
What do you mean? I live underwater.
In the year 3000, they live underwater.
You need to sort out your plumbing.
These squid, they have a little symbiotic relationship with bacteria.
Now we know what that word means.
Don't we all, though? We all have a symbiotic relationship
we
with
do,
bacteria.
We do, yes, but this is a...
On the surface of it?
It's got a very specific organ that it uses to create light. And so the bacteria make the light, and the squid just feeds it this kind of cocktail of amino acids and sugar.
Light.
Is this the light. Same? Is this the same bacteria that they then took the genes out of and put it in a bunny, and then the bunny glowed?
No, that's green fluorescent...
squids
green,
glow?
Green fluorescent protein.
Okay.
Squids make light.
Yeah, well the bacteria,
no, bacteria make light.
In squid.
For the squid.
For the
so
squid.
So okay. The interesting thing is, like the squid isn't born with a bacteria at all. So what happens is the mother lays like 100 eggs, buries them under some sand, and then just leaves. Then they hatch, and the bacteria infect them, and within about a day, they're able to make light.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically, they've got this little organ that's got these little cilli on it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, the little hairs.
Yeah, like
that
well,
to go around.
Yeah, so it's like really. No, it's not hairs. It's like micro.
Oh, this is still the bacteria. Okay.
No, this is the.
This is the squid.
This is the squid.
Oh god, I'm so lost.
Squid hatches. It's got this little organ. It's got lots of little tiny projections on it.
Yeah.
Bacteria comes and clings onto those,
yes.
And then completely remodels that organ.
Oh.
To make it suitable for the bacteria.
They're like interior decorators.
Basically, yeah. And every day the squid just ejects most of the bacteria, 90%, into the water.
That's a bit rude.
Just poos it out.
And it grows back again.
That's so rude.
Well, no, it's to spread it so that the rest of the squid can get the bacteria as well.
Sharing is caring, Luke.
So do you know what I said it's the invisibility cloak. So what they do...
Yes, you did.
I did.
Does this tie in?
It does tie in.
Okay, good.
So basically, if you're a squid's predator and you're looking up at night or during the day, you're not squid's predators. Please look down.
There's no squid up there.
There's no squid up there. No. So if sunlight's shining down,
maybe
you're
we can't
up,
see it.
maybe
it's the invisibility cloak.
So you're looking up. The sunlight shining down, you can see the squid's shadow. So what the squid does is shine more light down, the same amount of light that's hitting its back, so that you can't see its shadow at all.
Wow.
Right?
So it somehow matches the amount of ambient light.
Matches the amount. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
And that's insane. It's got like lenses and stuff in it that can like change the type of light that's coming out
that's
to match
so
what's
good.
Above it. So it can do moonlight, sunlight. It's insane. And what's crazy about this is that it's not even the squid doing it itself.
Yeah, it
it's
has
got
no idea.
Yeah. How did
just,
that come
it's
about?
It's just being alive better and someone else is doing all the work.
Yeah.
That's well, brilliant.
It's still feeding it, so you know.
But it's not doing that deliberately.
No, it's not. No, but then, which was the first squid to be infected with that, and then suddenly start shooting
oh,
light
guys,
at his
you
belly.
Gotta get a load of this. I haven't been attacked in a week.
Oh, all my friends are dead.
Oh, they were eaten.
So, it can alter the wavelength of the light and change the luminescence. So, and like I said, less than a day after hatching, they're just able to completely disappear from predators. Imagine that. Like, you have a kid, and then suddenly
he's
invisible.
What if Harry's cloak was made of squid?
Where's my child gone? Oh, it's all the bacteria. I can't remember what they're called, sorry.
Maybe they just didn't wash that cloak and it just got so much bacteria on it that it just started reflecting.
Disgusting.
Maybe they were just filthy.
Harry Potter and the biological infection.
Harry Potter and the biohazard.
So we've actually been trying to use this to make invisible planes. I say we.
Of course we have.
The US Air Force have been trying to make invisible planes.
Good old US Air Force.
Of course they have.
They should spend less time on that and spend more time on getting to 100 kilometers. Doesn't matter if it's the Air Force. They should spend more money on space.
So they just want to use the reflective qualities of the squid. Just paste a bunch of squids to your plane.
super glue them.
That'll be the next story of an animal going to space. The US airport has stapled a bunch of squid to its
that
plane.
That sounds like an Onion headline.
Gone to 20 kilometers before space, claimed it's space, and that's an animal in space.
I mean, it was a space race with the Soviets, surely.
Space race.
The space race.
It's like a
the
bad
space
film. Race.
That's what it's called.
The space race. Yeah. It's a whole part of like the Cold War and stuff.
I know. You don't have to look at me. He's the one who's an idiot.
I'm not an idiot. It just sounds funny.
So, how did they do it? They sent them in a rocket, obviously, into space.
That's what they do.
That was going to be my guess.
They want to see how microgravity affected the interaction between the squid and its bacteria. So they took little squid eggs and some bacteria and kept them separate, then sent them up into space and had the astronauts introduce them to each other.
Like dating.
Yes, Luke.
Space dating.
Yeah, nice. Yes.
Squid wants a wife.
They tested it on Earth first, and then they sent the squids up to space. The astronauts did it. And then they killed the squids. All three of them.
Why? Why did they kill the squids?
I know.
They know too much.
I was really annoyed about this too. They killed the squids because... They wanted to test them more on Earth, so they killed them to see how the colonization was at that exact point. Basically, it ended up that they actually did manage to grow in the squid. So we've also been sending a lot of other things into space. We've sent up some bacteria to see if they'd come back down and be more infectious. They are
good. What a great experiment. Oh, we sent it, and now we're all dead. Because,
what have we learned?
So they're three times more likely to infect mice if you send them up.
What?
Good thing I'm not a mouse.
I think it's due to with cosmic radiation.
Well, as in, like my mind either goes to like the radiation kills the weak ones, so the strong ones survive. It's like advancing evolution.
Could be that, but it could also be just mutating them.
That is
obviously
horrible.
Radiation mutates you. That's how the Fantastic Four got their powers.
No. No, it's not. They're not real.
Yeah, for real.
Well, it is. Yeah. Back in the 60s.
No.
The movie's based off them.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're real life events.
Well, maybe we can send the Fantastic Four to space.
They did.
They'll be dead.
They did.
Okay. Did they? Great. Are they dead? Probably.
Well, now, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, also, we can't get things back down from space.
Oh, God.
So...
We can go up there and get it, but...
But you can't bring it back
then
down.
Then you can't get back down.
You know, my favourite space fact is that during the mission to the moon, they jettisoned Neil Armstrong, etc.'s poo out into space. And it's just still, it'll be somewhere in space.
That's
just
probably.
Flying through space. And if it might land, because it's frozen, it might land on a planet one day and be the start of life because it has bacteria in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodbye.
So everyone could be descended from Neil Armstrong.
Poo.
Imagine that. Imagine you're like trying to explain your origins like we do. And you're like, oh, did God make us? Maybe. Did evolution make us? Maybe. Oh, were we from another planet? Maybe. Actually, you are from another planet, but from someone's poo.
Did someone's poo land on
that? Oh, that would suck.
What if that's what we are?
I bet that's what we are. That's awful.
An alien Neil Armstrong pooed and they shot it out into space. And
the thing is, we've got littering laws in space now. Because you can't get anything down from space. You're not allowed to litter in space.
Yes.
It's very, very important.
Wait, space or just in orbit?
In orbit. And in space as well, because it could get stuck into orbit.
Right. But you're not allowed to, like, jettison out to anywhere, like, away from Earth?
I mean, I think you may be allowed to jettison out into Earth. But if it can get into orbit, you're not allowed to do it. Especially because, like, even something tiny in orbit...
Yeah. It can kill you.
Oh, the speed
like
is going.
A bullet.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, worse than a bullet. Yeah, they could tear through a hull of a spaceship. It's insane.
Good.
That's the show, guys. Thank you for listening. You can get a link to the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a lovely little review? You can find us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I'm not Corey everywhere.
I'm Luke Cutforth on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Don't follow him.
I'm James at Jamkin on everything ever.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.